I'm so glad that you are here for week two of That's Not What He Said, where we are combating some of the things that people use as really great pearls of wisdom, well-meaning, you know, Christ-fearing people that take these little nuggets of advice and say them to you as if they are in Scripture, and they are not. So we're going to talk about that today. So last week we talked about how God just wants you to be happy. Has anybody ever been told that? Well, God just wants you to be happy. God doesn't want you to be happy. He doesn't care if you're happy. He cares. I mean, because, you know, he's God and he cares. But he wants you to have joy. He wants you to be blessed far beyond your circumstances. He wants something eternal for you. So we talked about that last week. Next week, we're going to look at it doesn't matter what you do. As long as you're a good person, as long as you don't hurt anybody, it doesn't matter what you do. That's not what Scripture says. It matters a lot what you do. Your actions mean a lot. But today, we're going to talk about something that I've discovered in my own life, something that I've discovered to be very, very true, a little pearl of wisdom that people have said to me before. But I want to talk about the life cycle of difficult seasons. So this is what I've discovered in my own life, that it is very, very true, that either I am on the verge of a very difficult season, like I know it's coming, I can kind of feel it. I can kind of feel it shifting. It's about to get real bumpy. Or I'm in the middle of a difficult season. Like it's happening. It's swirling all around me. Or I have survived. And now I am on the other side of a difficult season. And then the cycle starts all over again. Anybody else have found that to be true? Yeah? And then in your own life, people see that your life is kind of spiraling out of control. You feel it. And you're like, man, this has gotten heavy. Stuff is getting crazy. My schedule, my job, my relationships, my finances, my health, all of these things are just piling on and piling on and piling on, and it's spinning out of control, and this is more than I can handle. And then someone well-meaning that loves you so much comes along and says, well, God will never give you more than you can handle. You have to say it with a southern twang because that's usually how it comes across, or at least in my family, that's how it comes across, real southern. God will never give you more than you can handle. That's not true. Scripture doesn't even tell us that. Where do we come up with this idea that God will never give us more than we can handle? Because for me, I have lived through some seasons where it was more than I could handle. It was a lot. Well, there's actually a passage of Scripture that we're going to look at today that's where this concept is derived from. And it kind of says something along those lines, but actually quite different. So Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's talking about our fathers who have gone before us, like the generation just before, the children of Israel. You know, they had wandered in the desert, but had experienced the power, the supernatural power and provision and blessing and overwhelming security of God, and then yet still made some dumb choices and kind of, you know, separated themselves from God. And so Paul is looking at that and he's going, hey, church in Corinth, let's learn from their mistakes. And he's talking about temptation. He's saying they were presented with choices and they were tempted to make the wrong choice and they bought into it and they did. So let's look at it. He's talking about temptation in chapter 10, verse 13. And Paul writes to them and says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So God will give you more than you can handle. It says it right here in Scripture. God will give you more than you can handle, but he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what he has already made provision for. He's already gone before you. He knows what you're looking at. He's got it under control, and you will endure more than you can handle. So why, though? If God is so good and loves us so much, why? Why would he give us more than we can handle? Well, Scripture has example after example after example of humans who endured more than they felt like they could handle. Moses, who led an entire nation of people, at one point in scripture is telling God, hey, God, I'm not the best speaker. I'm slow of tongue. I'm not a great leader. How on earth am I going to do it? This is more than I can handle. Esther, who was like the cornerstone of freedom, at one point said, God, I am terrified. I am fearful for my own life. I don't know if I can do this. It was more than she could handle. King David even writes in Psalms, when the weight of his sin was so much that he could no longer bear it. In chapter 38, this is what he says, for my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. It was too much for him to bear. Even Jesus, in Mark's gospel, we read about Jesus kind of foreshadowing what was about to happen on the cross. And Mark describes the scene and says that Jesus began to be greatly distressed and troubled, sweating drops of blood. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. That our human side will absolutely go through seasons that are more than we can bear. But why? If God is so good and he loves us so much and he has such great plans for us ahead, why would he let us go through seasons of overwhelming despair, of torment, of heavy weight, of things that are beyond our control? Why would he let us go through those things? Well, I think there's two reasons. The first reason is that he wants us to be dependent on his presence, completely and totally dependent on him. Let's be honest. When things are good, when things are all in sync and we've got this plan, I have my binder with my tabs and I'm on this tab and things are happening the way that this tab says it should be happening, it's easy to forget about God. It's easy for us to go, look at me. I've got it all under control. My plan is working out. Everything is moving, shaking, grooving, we're going. It's awesome. And then the second things start to get bad, all of a sudden we go, oh God, where are you? I need your help. I made a mess. God, I need you. Come and help me clean it up. We immediately remember. The creation immediately longs for its creator, because ultimately we know, no matter how good we are completely dependent on him. We're in an interesting like season right now, full of like these marks in history, like anniversaries of these marks in history. Think back 17 years ago. Where were you on September 11th? We all remember. I vividly remember being a high school student sitting in my living room watching the events unfold on TV. Because this was before, you know, Facebook. Kids will never understand. This was before Facebook, where like you could get live updates right there in the palm of your hand. You had to be glued to the TV to watch what was happening. And I remember that night, later, you know, the sun had already set. We're still sitting watching TV, glued to it, trying to figure out what's going on, what's happening, what's the latest. And I remember watching all the members of the House and the Senate that were available, you know, all of these congressmen and women on the steps of the Capitol building. And there was no more political party. There was no more agenda. We were just Americans on that day, that we all had one common goal. And they stood on the steps of the Capitol building and sang, God bless America. Because they knew, regardless of their faith, regardless of when the last time was they went to church, we all collectively knew that God was the only thing that was going to help us in that moment. And then us as Houstonians, think where we were on this day last year. This day last year, things were rough. Things were grim. There was still water covering our city. And the entire nation, the entire world was praying for Houston, because we knew that was all we had. That was the only place that we could turn. That was the only direction we could go. That we were completely and totally dependent on the presence of our Creator. The creation needs the Creator, whether we acknowledge it or not. We were designed that way. We weren't created to live in a vacuum, in a bubble, and try to figure it out all on our own. Sure, on our best days, we're pretty smart, we're pretty with it, But on our best days, we're still not as good as God. It's impossible. This same concept we see in the life of Jonah, in the Old Testament. So God tells Jonah, go and preach to the people of Nineveh. And Jonah goes, no, I'm good. I don't want to. I'm going to go this way. And he starts rebelling. Much like some of us, God tells us, hey, I need you to go and do this. And we're like, nah, I'm good, God. I'm going to go do this thing that's in the plan that I have created. I'm going to do that thing. So Jonah starts rebelling, and through an odd series of events, he ends up on a boat, and they end up throwing him overboard. And so now he finds himself being swallowed up by a gigantic fish. So this guy, who has literally hit rock bottom, like the lowest of the low in the belly of a fish, this is what he says. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 2, he says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you. Jonah doesn't say, out of my super success, out of my awesome obedience, I cried out to the Lord and he was there. He says, no, in my darkest, lowest, loneliest, most distressing of times, I called out to the Lord and he was there. I am completely and totally dependent on him. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. That even in the chaos, even in the whirlwind, God is still there, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what we face. That when we cry out to him, he is close to us. Even King David talks about crying out to the Lord. In Psalms 145, he wrote, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Even in the midst of the storm, when you call on him, he is so, so very near. It makes me think about my kids when they're sick. Any parent will admit that we secretly like it when our kids have a cold. Now, we don't go broadcasting this because it makes us sound crazy, but we don't like it, you know, that our kids are sick or hurting, but oh man, do I love it that they want me to hold them, that they're still, I have two boys, so that they're still long enough for me to snuggle them. The first thing that happens when they're sick, what do? Mom, I need help. I love that they are dependent on me in that time to comfort them and console them. And that's how it is with God. He is the most loving of parents. He doesn't like that we're hurting. He doesn't like that we're facing a storm. But man, he loves those intimate moments with us. Man, he loves that we cry out to him. We call for him. We ask him to help us. And he is there to lead us and guide us and comfort us in all of our sorrows. That's what he does. Life is full of mountaintops and valleys. You can experience God at the top of a mountain and have this beautiful, life-altering experience. But there is something about experiencing God in the valley that's just shattering. Because in the mountaintop, when everything is great, yeah, it's beautiful to be in community with God. But in the valley, when you're all alone and he's all you have and you're totally dependent, that's when you are shaped. That's when you are molded to be more like him. This is what it says in Psalms 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That in the darkest places, when we feel all alone, abandoned, overwhelmed, stressed out, tore up, he's there. There is no darkness that can hide us from him. So why would God allow us to experience more than we can handle? Because he wants us to be totally dependent on him. And then he wants us to experience his power. There was this time that Bill and I, when we were dating many, many years ago, long, long time ago, we were out on the bay, and his dad had taken us out in a you know, like a normal little fishing, like motorboat, where you, you know, and you head off, you know, with the motor and the prop down in the water, and you're across the waves. So we're heading out into the bay, and I do not do well on boats. I get very, very seasick. But of course, I'm like, you know, totally trying to impress this guy, so I'm totally fine. And then, like, over the side, I'm like, I'm totally good. I'm totally good. And Bill kept saying, look at the horizon. Look at the horizon as the boat is, like, rocking back and forth and these giant waves kind of pushing it, and we're skipping across them. Look at the horizon. Look at the horizon. Like, but the horizon's just moving, and it's just so dizzying. So we're out there for a little while, and another family member comes up. They call it a catamaran, but to me, I'm like, it's a trampoline with a sail. So he's like, come get on my trampoline. And I'm like, ugh. And he's like, no, it'll be awesome. Come and get on this little sailboat with me, and we're going to go into the shallow water where this boat can't go. This boat with the prop down in the water, it'll run aground if you try to take it into the shallow water. But the shallow water, the fishing is better because there's more fish, there's less to combat with. You can catch a ton of fish over in the shallow water. It's smoother, it's calmer. All you have to do is get out of this boat and step onto my trampoline over the water. So I'm like, okay, let's do it. So we're in a perfectly good boat that was totally fine, but we're going to get in this other thing that's a trampoline with no sides. So we climb out of the boat and get onto the trampoline, and eventually we sail off. You know, he pops up the sail, and the wind catches it and carries us all the way over to the shallow water, and it's so peaceful, so much prettier and calmer. We're still not close to land, so I'm still uneasy, but the water isn't as choppy. When we start fishing and we're catching all sorts of fish, that's what God wants to do in our lives. We've built this boat of security, and we've gone, God, my plan is so technologically sound and efficient and can run me so quickly from here to there. And God goes, but in my power, I can take you to places that you could never go on your own. In my power, you can experience such peace, such stillness, such serenity. You can experience overwhelming bounty if you'll just let me be in control. If you will step out of the plan that you've created that you are so confident will work so well and allow me to use my power, watch what I can do. Watch how I can take you to the next phase. When we stop trying to make things work according to our plan, we get to experience his power. And the Apostle Paul lived this out. So in Scripture, Paul talks about a thorn in his side, and it's a metaphor. And theologians and Bible scholars for centuries have tried to determine what this thorn in his side could have been. I'm of the mindset that I don't care. I don't care what it was, because the principle is still the same, that this was something in Paul's life that weighed on him, that overwhelmed him, that burdened him, and he begged God to take it away. Scripture says that three different times he begged God. So that was not like day one, I pray, God, take it away. Day two, I pray, God, take it away. Day three, I pray, God, take it away. No, these are seasons. Three different seasons in Paul's life. He begged, he pleaded, he prayed, he fasted. He was heavy with this burden and asked God with all that he had to please take it away. We've been there. God, please fix this financial burden. I can no longer carry it. This is too much for me. God, this fractured relationship is all that I can think about, and it hurts, and I don't want to do it anymore. It's more than I can handle. God, this job seems like it's a dead end, and I need you to make a way out. We have been there. We have been at the bottom and begged God to fix it, knowing that he can, so why won't he? And that's where Paul was. He knew that God could, and he said, so why won't you? And this is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God responds to Paul and says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So then Paul responds and he says, awesome. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. when I don't know the answer, when I don't have enough to give, when I am crushed by the weight of more that I can handle, His power is made perfect. When I am not enough, He is always more than enough. That when I don't measure up, He makes a whole new system of measurement. And He shows up and He shows off. You know, there, if I can be honest with you guys, like, this is a secret, okay? Just a family secret. This is just for us, all right? There are Sundays where I don't want to preach. There are Sundays where Bill doesn't want to preach. You better believe that even though we're pastors, there are Sundays where we fight on Sunday mornings. There are Sundays, and some of you have witnessed them, where our children are nuts, and it is very difficult for us to get to church. There are some days when we are sick, like literally sick. But you know what we do? We preach anyway. Because every single time, it never fails. On the Sundays where I'm like, I don't want to be here, God speaks through us. And we get to have conversations with people that are like, you have no idea how much that meant to me. You have no idea how much that changed my life. You have no idea how much I needed to hear that message today. Did someone tell you that that's what I needed, and then you built a whole sermon around what I needed to hear? No, it was God. Because there has never been a moment where we have taken this for granted. Because in our weakness, He is made perfect. And this is not His church this is not my church or my message. This is His church and His message, and we are His people. They get to come together and live life in community, experiencing the overwhelming power of our Creator, because it is not by chance that He has put us here for this time, for this purpose, with these people in this place, because it is by His power and not our own. You were absolutely created to handle more than you think you can. When you feel like you are being crushed, just know you are in good company. Because there isn't a person in the Bible that wasn't that way. There isn't a person on our staff that isn't that way. We have all been in that situation. If you want to be the CEO of a company, you better believe you are going to have to take on more than you can handle. If you want to have kids, you better believe you are going to have to take on more than you can handle. If you want a solid marriage, you better be willing to take on more than you can handle. If you want to be teacher of the year, if you want to be employee of the month, if you want to be the rock star extraordinaire, you better believe that you will need to take on more than you can handle. Because it is in those moments that we are totally dependent on Him. And so we get to experience a power that is supernatural and overwhelming and life-changing beyond our understanding, because He is God, and that's who He is, and that's what He does. So in just a second, we're actually going to take communion together. And we talked about that cycle of life, of hard times. Maybe you are on the verge of a super breaking season, super difficult, super chaotic, super stressful, super heavy. Communion is the best thing that you could do to prep for what's coming. To get your head in the game. Get it right. Know what direction you're headed. Know who created you. Know who's going to sustain you through that time. Maybe you are in the middle of the difficult season and you need some encouragement. You have come to the right place. And communion is the best thing that you can do for God to remind you of who He is, who He says that you are, and how He will sustain you, that you can endure this. Maybe you're on the other side of it, and that's awesome. You're not necessarily unscathed, but you survived. And now you get to look back and see what you've learned and thank God for what He did in you and through you in that time. And then you get to share that story with other people so that maybe they miss, you know, the speed bump that you had to go over. Regardless of where you are in the cycle, communion is the best place to be because we get to reflect together. Communion is meant to be done in community. It's meant to be done as a family. For all of us to press pause on the chaos of life together and to focus back in on who Christ is. On who He says that we are because of who He is. that we get to reflect on him, enjoy who he is, and do that together. So Tanner's going to come, and he's going to read a passage and pray over us, and then he will give us some instruction.